you're just a cool group to hang out with, and I like second service too. I like hanging out with them. I love my church family, and when we were a little bitty church, it was easy to know everybody and know their kids and their grandkids and their birthdays and all of that, and we could all go to Dairy Queen, or not Dairy Queen, Sweden Cream together back in the day. We could have fellowship suppers, and it's the bigger you get, the harder it is to do those kind of things. I understand you ladies had a great time Friday night. I heard you showed out a little bit. Come on now. No, well, you got to show out a little bit. But I don't want to hear any stories, okay? We'll just what happens, it stays there, yeah. Okay, praise God for a great day to worship God. It's sure good to see Tim Lampkin. He's just had triple bypass surgery. What was it, Thursday? A week ago Thursday? Is that right? Thursday, Friday, Tuesday? Somewhere. And he's home now and doing well. And don't squeeze him too hard because he might hit you. But it's good to see him doing well and looking forward to him having a full recovery. We're going to continue our series that we began last week called It Is Written. We looked in Matthew and we talked about the temptation of Jesus. You know, some people have the ideal that a church like ours, contemporary type church, kind of a laid back church, do you really believe the Bible? Do you really believe the Word of God? Do you really believe this stuff? Or is this just one of those modern deals where it's more like a social deal and a feel-good thing? We want you to feel good, but we want you to be comfortably uncomfortable sometimes, okay? You know what I mean? This is a safe place to go to church, but we believe in the Word of God. We believe that the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. And that there's only one thing that can change a person's life, and that is the Word of God. And we got a light issue, as you can see, and we'll adjust that. Our board's shot, and it's off being repaired, and what they're giving us is worse than what we had. But anyway, we'll deal with that. But anyway, we believe that the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Now, that means more than the forgiveness of sins. It means wholeness. It means, it just means salvation for the whole man. Your whole spirit, your whole soul, your whole body. God cares about your daily life. God cares about your needs. God cares about your heart. There's just so many things that God he cares about, and he has given us a word for every part of our being, and it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, that word salvation is the Greek word sozo, and it's an all-inclusive word. It doesn't just mean going to heaven when you die. God wants you to go to heaven when you die, but listen, he wants so much more for your life than that. There's so much more, and heaven is going to be a great place, don't you agree? Yes. It's going to be a wonderful place, and you know, there's going to be so many great things, but it's not like we live in a wilderness while we're here. Although, you know, life can be a struggle, but God wants us to live. And that's what we're going to be talking about today in the second part of this. Last week we talked about dealing with temptations, and we looked at Jesus in the wilderness being tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, and how every time that Satan came at him, Jesus responded not with, "This is who I am," but he responded with, "It is written." He used what he gave us to use to overcome temptation. It is written. It is written. Now, you can't quote what is written if you hadn't read what's been written. Amen? So, it's important that we have a steady diet of the Word of God going into us at all time. See, your heart is a garden. Your heart is a garden. You plant things in your heart all the time. Whatever you watch, whatever you listen to, whatever you think about is the seed that you're planting on the inside of you. And whatever you put in you is what's going to come out of you. See, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you're full of strife, guess what you're going to be talking? Strife. If you're full of fear, guess what you're going to be talking? Fear. If you're full of hate, guess what you're going to be talking? If you're full of love, guess what you're going to be talking? See, you get to control what comes out your mouth. You get to control your life in the sense that you choose what you put in you, and that determines what comes out of you. And God has given us His Word to plant in our hearts to produce a harvest of life in us. See, Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and life more abundant. I hadn't started my sermon yet, okay? We're just kind of introducing this. Wow. I didn't mean to say all that. But let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We're going to look at this. We're going to talk about staying alive, not just existing, but thriving, living life to the fullest. There's a whole lot of people who have been born and died and never lived. They just existed. God wants us to more than just exist. He wants us to thrive. And we believe that He has given every one of us gifts and callings and personality. He designed you. He designed you for His glory. And He wants you to thrive in the realm that He's put you in. He wants you to thrive with life. He wants you to live that life to the fullest. So I want you to listen today to see what the Holy Spirit says to your heart today, because I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to all of us. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to me today as I teach this lesson. I have that expectation that I'm going to hear something that I need to hear today that will help me thrive in my life. I'm trusting that you're going to hear something today, whether it comes through my lips or it comes through your thoughts, that's going to help you thrive with your life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You know, the word doctrine, that's not a bad word. It just means truth. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So this is what the Word of God is profitable for. It's given by inspiration. And that word inspiration is a big long Greek word. Theanoustos. And it comes from two Greek words, theo, which means God, and noustos, which comes from the derivative of pneuma, which means air or to breathe. And this word means God breathe. That all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It comes from the breath of God. Let's say it another way. It comes from the heart of God. The Scripture comes to us from the heart of God. Now, we believe as Christians that both the Old Testament and the New Testament are equally God-breathed. That we believe in both of those. And so it's given to us, it's profitable for learning what is true, that what corrects our life, what reproves us or rebukes us, or it instructs us in our walk with God that we can walk in a righteous way before Him. Now, we're going to be looking in Ezekiel. There's a story in Ezekiel about the dry bones. Has anybody ever read the dry bones in Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 37. Let me read a couple of verses of there, and we're going to get into some things here. It says, the hand of the Lord, Ezekiel 37:1, and the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley. And it was full of dry bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Good catch. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. You know. Now I want to talk about four things today that has to do with the written word of God. What it does for us. We know that it's God breathed, that it has to do with breath. You know, we have to have air to breathe, don't we? You know, you can, the three things that we really need, food, water, and air. You can live about 40 to 80 days without food. Boy, I'd hate to do that, wouldn't you? You can live about 7 to 12 days without water. But how long can you live without air? About, do you want to see how long we can hold our breaths this morning? About four to 7 minutes. We got to have air. Our biggest need in life is air. And I think that this is a great picture of the breath of God. It's saying that the scripture is God breathed. Remember when God created man, what did he do? He's there, he's formless. And it says God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Can I tell you that when you read the scripture, the scripture is breathing into you the breath of life, and you become more and more and more alive the more that you read, meditate, and apply the scripture to your life. It is the power of God unto salvation. So God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he said, you know what, Lord? You know. Only you know. So here's the first thing we want to say about the scripture. It is written, okay? The written word of God gives us understanding. The written word of God gives us understanding. See, you base your worldview around something. You base it around many different things. But what is it that God has given us so that we can truly understand what we need to know? It's the scripture. Can I just tell you, my opinion is worth nothing. My opinion is worth nothing. I have opinions. You have opinions. All of God's children have opinions. That's why we got so many denominations. Listen, we got lots of denominations in this church. We're non-denominational. We got people from all different kind of backgrounds. I'm an old Methodist boy. We got Baptist folks. We got Pentecostal folks. We got Church of Christ folks. We got Catholic folks. We got heathen folks. We got folks from all different kinds of backgrounds. Don't you think that we probably have a lot of opinions about things in this church? But you know what? It's not what I think that's important. It's not what I think that gives life. It's what God thinks. It's what God says that gives life. Okay? So, it's God's word that gives us understanding that will cause us to thrive. Let me read some verses to you. Job chapter 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. How does God do that? How does the breath of the Almighty give us understanding? It's through his God-breathed word that he's given us. Did you know that the Bible is still as powerful as it was when God spoke it? The Word of God hasn't lost its power. The Word of God hasn't lost its punch. It's just as powerful as it was when He spoke it. Turn out the lights. The party's over. Okay. Psalms 119, 130 says, the entrance of your Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I think we qualify, don't we? Before we know the Word of God, we're pretty simple. But when that Word comes into us, it gives us light. It brings understanding to us. See, when we understand something, we know how to navigate. We know how to order our lives. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But I want you to understand that it's hearing and knowing and reading and studying and meditating the Word that brings us into this relationship with God. See, you can get saved. It's easy to get saved. But if you really do Christianity right, you've got, it's a 24-hour deal. It's not a Sunday deal. It's not a Wednesday night deal. It's not a life group deal. It's a 24/7 deal. You're in a relationship with God. Listen. If you raise children, how many of you know that's a 24/7 deal? You don't change your baby's diaper and say, I'll see you in 3 days. I'm taking a break. Well, God's our Father. We're His children. And if we do Christianity right, it's a 24/7 deal. It's a relationship with God who wants to be a part of our life, who wants to guide us, who wants to bless us, who wants to do something in us. But see, He's chosen His Word, His written Word, to do that. It brings us understanding. We see things differently. See, you see things about your life that you didn't understand or that you don't understand. That's what the Word does. It's a living Word. It's an alive Word. It's a quickening Word. In Luke 24, verse 44, Jesus did something very unique with His disciples. Then He said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scripture. Now Jesus is fixing to go away. He's not going to be there physically to guide them. See, it's very important that they understand the Scripture. And He opens their understanding. In another verse, it says He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And they understood the Scripture. So it's a relationship with the Holy. That's one of the reasons that He sent the Holy Spirit into the church, is that so that we could have understanding of the Scripture. We don't have Jesus here with us. We don't know what He looks like. We don't have that kind of relationship with Him. We will one day. We'll see Him one day. But right now, that relationship is through His Word. And He speaks and guides and directs us and brings us into understanding through His Word. And if we will love it and embrace it and follow it, it will cause us to thrive in what He's called us to do and be. Can you say amen? Okay. The second thing that I want you to understand about the written Word, that the written Word brings order. Can we pretty much say and can we pretty much admit before we came to Christ, our lives were in disarray? We were kind of out of order. We're like the dry bones. See, what that picture, it goes later in Ezekiel and explains that what he's talking to in this vision about the dry bones is the disarray that Israel was in and how that he was going to bring them back into order. And so we see that our lives before we came to Christ were disjointed. Our lives were in disarray and in order. We were doing whatever was right in our own eyes. We were slowly killing ourselves. But the Word of God, the understanding of the Word of God, and the application of the Word of God begins to bring order. Ezekiel 37:4. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. You know what? He said that to them before it happened. And that's the way God does with us, that he says what he wants to do in us before that happens. That's called faith. We have to see that promise and we have to embrace that promise. I shall put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. So what comes after understanding of the Word of God? A rearranging of the order. That which was out of order begins to come back into order. Can I just tell you, this is a work of God. I've said this hundreds of times, and hopefully I get to say it 100 times more, that God loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He did not bring the Word of God into your life. He did not bring eternal life into you so that you could continue in a deathward spiral. He wants more for your life than mediocrity. He wants more in your life than you destroying yourself by your lifestyle. He wants to bring an order to it. He wants to bring through, as he speaks to you and as you understand, as you begin to apply, he wants to begin to bring an order. He wants to bring those bones together. He wants to add the sinew and put the skin in your life where there is something about your life that's significant. Psalms 33:6, it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all of the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Reminds me of Genesis 1:2. I love this. Verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? But verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The idea here that the earth at that point was in a place of chaos. It could not sustain life. There's nothing there. Human life could not be sustained. Plant life could not be. Any kind of life upon this planet could not happen. It was in chaos. And there's a whole lot of different theories of why that is. And we're not going to get into that. But it was in a chaotic state. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. You know what God began to do in that? He was bringing order to chaos. It was by the breath of God. Let there be light. The power of God was released through the breath of God. And he began to bring an order into the earth. Isaiah 55. Verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the things in which I send it. See, God does not send his word out for it to fall on bad ground. God does not put his word in you for it to fall and do nothing. He puts it in you so that it can benefit you in your life. Amen. Well, the third thing that the written word does is that it brings strength. First of all, understanding. Then we see order. And now we see strength, ability. The word of God enables us to do and be what it projects us to be. That word that goes forth God says, it's not going to come back void. It's going to accomplish the thing that I've sent it. It's going to prosper in the thing that I meant for it to do. And God's word in you will prosper. God's word in you will accomplish the things that it's sent to do. Ezekiel 37:6, I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 8, indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. There's a story in Exodus chapter 15. This has to do with the children of Israel going out of Egypt, going into the wilderness. Listen to this. This is talking about the breath of God. Verse 8. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood up on like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. You know what? God was their power and their protector as they came out of Egypt and they came out of bondage and they came into a new life. God has given through His Word and through His Spirit a strengthening for us to be able to accomplish what's in our heart to do. When you think about, you know, I think everybody has dreams. I think many times we have God-given dreams that God puts in our heart. And we don't see any way that those things are going to come to pass. But you know what? It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's God's power that will accomplish things. It's not your ability. It's not your power. It's His power. It's His strength. Amen. Jesus, again with His disciples in John 20:22. When He had said this, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Remember the Acts 1:8 promise? Says, after you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. He said, don't go out powerless. Receive the power that I give you. Why? Because it's God's power working in us that accomplishes life and life abundantly. Here's the fourth thing. First of all, the Word of God brings what? Are y'all listening? What's the first thing that the Word of God brings? Understanding. What's the second thing that it brings? Order. The third thing that it brings is strength. Now, the fourth thing that it brings life. It brings life. Ezekiel 37, so I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. God was prophesying about what He would do with the nation of Israel. And in this vision, He sees this. He prophesies and He speaks the Word of God, and life comes in them. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20, verse 22. We got about three more verses, praise team. Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words. To my what? To my words. To my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Can you see this relationship? You keep it in front of your eyes. In other words, you read it. You understand it. You put it in your heart. You think on it, you chew on it, you meditate on it. For they are life. What is they? His words. His words are life unto them who find them, and health to all their flesh. Even bring healing into your life. Genesis 2:7 talks about man. It says that the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Can you see the symbolism here between breath and the word? Life and the word? We're going to end with this verse right here. Job 33:4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Can I just say, we need to be people of the Word. That's why I preach at you. That's why I fuss at you. That's why I harp at you about reading your Bibles, about getting in the Word and getting the Word in you. It will change your life. We've seen some people this last year go through some hard things. And if they didn't know what they knew about the Word, they may not have survived. The Word of God will sustain you in the hard time. The Word of God will lead you away from many difficult times. There's just so many multifaceted things that the Word of God can do for you and in you. But listen, you've got to have it inside you. You've got to have it inside you. It's so important that we do that. Can we stand? We're going to worship. Normally we do a little prayer time, but I want you to reflect upon the place that the Word has in your life today. We say we love God. We say we love God. But does God look at you and say, they really do love me? He does. He, she really does love me. Or does he look at us and say, you just say that? You're just saying it. Can we say that we love his word? Oh, I love to hear the word preached. I'm not talking about the word preached. I'm talking about the word written. Do we like the word written? Do we love it? It's so easy to neglect it, but it is your life. It is your salvation. Father, thank you today. God, examine our hearts. May we examine our hearts. And may we be honest about our relationship with your word. We know.